This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
All right, I'm going to zap her again. Charge up the paddles. Come on, let's go.
Sorry, Doctor.
Hold the compressions.
Clear.
Straight line.
All right, welcome. You are listening to Rock and Roll Autopsy. I'm Scott.
And this is Rico. Welcome.
Right. Welcome to the show. Tonight, we are going to be performing, and the phone is ringing again.
Rico, that's cool.
Is that the request line?
Request line. Let's see who it is.
All right. West of the Mississippi, you're on the air. Oh, God, this guy again.
You know, I thought that after the first time that maybe he would actually have something to say this time. I don't get
sir,
it.
Sir, how can we help you? All right, you want to hear a song? You want us to perform an autopsy on a song? All right, I got it. Okay, hang up on him.
All right, let's get rid of this guy. Let's get rid of this Joker. I've had enough of that.
He requested Miss You by the Rolling Stones. So I guess that will be our autopsy track of the night.
Miss You by Rolling Stones.
Sounds good. But first,
the news.
What is this garbage you're watching? I want to watch the news.
This is the news.
April 19th, 1969, Good Times, Bad Times, the first Led Zeppelin single reaches its chart peak of number 80 in America. How do you feel about Good Times, Bad Times, sir?
I love it, man. The thing that stands out the most for me is John Paul Jones' bass line. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I love that record. I've been listening to Zeppelin lately. I found myself in a Zeppelin mood. Physical mm-hmm. Graffiti I've been checking out.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I'm digging it. But are you at all bothered by the blatant, in-your-face, flagrant culture vulturism all over Led Zeppelin 1 and 2, where Jimmy Page just lifts songs, riffs, and lyrics from uncredited blues guys?
Come on, Jimmy, be a little more creative than that. But yeah, it's all over the place. I mean, excuse me. Listen, they pull it off well, but it's just blatant one rip-off after another.
Yeah, still great.
Good,
YouTube
still good
videos.
Listen to though.
Yeah, breaking it down.
Yeah.
What else is in the news this week, sir?
So, April 20th, 1981, John Phillips, you know who that guy is?
Yes, sir.
Yes, from the Mamas and the Papas, is sentenced to 5 years for helping a Los Angeles area pharmacist sell fake prescriptions as well as drug possession. His sentence will be reduced to 1 month, however, after he agrees to perform 250 hours of community service in the form of anti-drug lectures.
You know, I bet Hugh Beaumont would have a stern talking to.
Hugh Beaumont would beat his ass. Hugh Beaumont is the fucking kind of alpha that would rip that shit, dude.
Listen, man, when you talk about the Mamas and the Papas, there's only one thing that comes to mind for this cowboy, and that band has one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Michelle Phillips. Lord.
On the cast. Right.
Mama Cass and ham sandwiches, baby.
April 22nd, 1989, Public Enemy make the video for Fight the Power, directed by Spike Lee in Brooklyn. The shoot doubles as a rally with locals joining in to serve as extras. A song later debuts in the soundtrack to Lee's film, Do the Right Thing.
Public Enemy, man.
Killer band.
Fucking killer, man.
Dude. Do the Right Thing. Great movie, man.
Fantastic movie.
Where's Spike Lee been, man? What's he doing?
He's been at MSG watching that crappy-ass basketball team.
Dolan's discounts out there.
Oh, my God. I tell you what. The Knicks should thank him, though, because there's asses in seats just because of that guy. And yeah, I think he's more of an attraction now than the Knicks are, believe it or not.
Was Spike Lee the cat who brought us Jesus Shuttlesworth, and he got game? Because Public Enemy did a soundtrack for that, too. I think that's a Spike Lee flick.
It's a Spike Lee joint.
Yep. All right, what else is in the news, sir?
Let's see. In April 20th, 1968, Deep Purple makes their stage debut in Vestoppen in Kastrup, Denmark. That's where it all started, in Denmark for them.
Deep Purple. You know, they were the band that they just would not let in the Rock Hall.
Yeah, you
know,
man.
And they finally put them
in.
And Lars Ulrich got up on stage and he said, you know what? When you grow up in Europe, there's never any doubt that Deep Purple belongs right next to
Led
Zeppelin and the Rolling Stones. So it's only, you know, here in the States when that doesn't really kind of click. All right, let's make this the last news item here.
Agree.
April 22nd, 1979, Keith Richards serves his punishment for a Toronto arrest on heroin charges when the Rolling Stones play the first of two concerts in Ontario to raise money for the Canadian National Institute for the Blind, which is his court-ordered community service.
So if you're a rock star and you get popped for any kind of drug charges, you get off scot-free, dude.
I guess.
Paul McCartney just got popped for like $100-some charge for growing weed in his yard. Fucking, what the hell, John Phillips, what did he get? Nothing. He got a month in some community service. Keith Richards gets nothing. Like, if you're famous, dude, you could have a dead bloody body in your trunk of your car. And you're getting off scot-free. It's a joke. A big joke.
You know why? Because the world needs Keith Richards. We can't have him doing time.
That's true, man.
Who's going to play five strings on that Telecaster, that open G Telecaster?
That's a pretty good point.
Get up on stage and make those Keith Richards poses. The world needs him.
We need him. We love Keith Richards.
Big deal.
Can I ask you a question
before
we take a break? How is that man still alive?
Who knows, man? It's funny because I listen, I'm not encouraging people to listen to other podcasts. You should only listen to us. But today I listened to WTF with Keith Richards.
Blasphemer.
Sorry. But he quit smoking, finally.
Are you serious?
Yeah, finally. He said it's not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, wow.
True, it's what he said on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's take a break and we'll come back.
I've been a part of the minimalist shoe community for a little while now. Tried more than one brand with varying results, but the shoes I'm wearing right now are from Zero. That's X-E-R-O. They're based out of Denver, Colorado. Let me tell you, these shoes are incredible. The style I'm wearing right now are the Prio, but they have other styles too, depending on your activity level, whether you're doing some heavy hiking, some road work, or if you just need some sandals for the beach. They're incredibly well put together. The soles come with a 5,000 mile warranty. The uppers come with the Huarache style strap. So if you need to tighten the uppers up a little bit to get them a little snug to your feet, you can do that very easily without compromising the comfort. The toe box is nice and wide to give your toes lots of room to spread out the way they're intended. Zero shoes look great and they feel even better. They're one of the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn, but don't take my word for it, people. Go to the website, here's our affiliate link, zeroshoes.com/go/RNRA affiliate. Do your own research, look at what they have. If you got yourself a pair, you would love them just as much as I do.
All right, Rico.
Yeah, man, what's up?
We need reviews.
What is that? What does that mean?
Well, it's like...
What does that mean to us?
Well, people who listen to our podcast, it would be swell if they would go to Apple Podcasts and write a review, or go to Spotify and give us a star rating, something between 1 and 5. It helps us.
How do we know how bad we really are if people don't tell us?
We need the feedback, and the algorithm loves it, and that algorithm is hungry.
It needs fed bad. You know what else needs fed bad? Your ego needs fed bad on this.
Yeah,
that's why we really want the reviews. Let's face it, right? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I get zero positive feedback in my life. People around me despise me. So I'm counting on total strangers to say nice things.
Yeah, I guess the point is to make your ego like completely non-manageable so that I want to stop doing this podcast.
And people might be motivated to do that if they dislike the podcast.
Right. If they want to see in like an intercompany battle between creative differences and how I can't stand how giant your ego is, all we need is for those people to start giving us reviews and feedback. And that'll happen, guys. You'll get some really good social media entertainment here.
It would be a backwards way for them to kill a podcast they hate by saying good things about it, so that my ego would rage out of control.
Exactly.
And you would storm off in a huff.
I think we all want that, right?
I know I do.
So please, do us a favor and give us some feedback.
We are gathered here to remember rock and roll. Rock was born the rambunctious son of country, western, and blues. In the year of our Lord, 1955, on this day, the birth of rock and roll gifted under the world a gyrating pelvis, a throbbing beat, and a pulsating rhythm, a sound so infectious and rollicking that it would endow previously scrupulous young minds with identity, individualism, and purpose, thus setting forth a multi-generational pursuit of all that is loud, debaucherous, and unholy. But, sadly, like all earthly endeavors, rock too must perish. Oh, we mourn the loss of rock and roll, with its ridiculously old standard bearers still on tour and charging ungodly amounts of Mad Jack to witness their long past the sell-by date asses on stage, and with its chauvinism, misogyny, and whiteness no longer aligning with modern sensibilities, and with its aging, fist-shaking fan base kicking every would-be rocker off their proverbial lawn, rock has indeed passed into the celestial void. May rock rest in peace, in eternal cacophonous slumber. Amen.
Thank you for that, Scott.
All right, welcome back.
All right, Rico, are you ready to perform an autopsy on the Rolling Stones track Miss You?
And remember, don't try this at home. We are amateurs.
Ladies, all right, we're going to...
The story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Did I just get interrupted by a dragnet, dude?
That's okay.
All right, we're going to hop in the Wayback Machine to 1978 for the Rolling Stones Some Girls album, the lead-off track, Miss You. We are going to apply our scientific method. It's a rock and roll autopsy. We've got five categories. They are gratuitous, boomerism, excessive misogyny, wanton whiteness,
whitey,
malignant machismo,
men rock,
and culture vulturism.
Vultures.
All right, Rico, let's start the autopsy. How do you score Miss You for gratuitous boomerism?
1978 Rolling Stones, a song about a guy who's missing somebody and then is hanging out with some Puerto Rican girls in a case of wine. This one was a little tougher for me. Am I seeing some boomerism in this one? Yeah, I am. I'm saying a full one on the boomerism. Definitely.
You're not the only one with a full one. I am also scoring at a plus one. I think the Rolling Stones are a quintessential boomer band.
For sure.
They are of the era. They are themselves. They are
a boomer band, and this is a boomer song. So we are going to give this a plus one. Category number two, excessive misogyny. How do you score?
Well, yeah, considering some of the other songs on this album, I am also going to give them a full one on excessive misogyny. We're going to come round 12 with some Puerto Rican girls. That's just dynamite. We're going to bring case wine and mess a fool around here like we used to.
Yeah, you are correct, sir. It is a big plus one. The whole record is a big plus one. This record, a little controversial.
Sure it is, especially with the title track.
Yes, sir, because of the album cover and the lyrics. And so, yeah, it's a big plus one. Let's go on to category three, Wanton Whiteness. And how do you score, sir?
I'm going to give them a zero on this one because there's a lot of good, cool funk in this song. I'm not, you might feel a different way than I do, but I'm not feeling it. So I'm just going to give them just a straight zero on this.
I feel exactly the same way, sir. This is a song that has some disco and some funk happening. It is. There is not guilty of wanton whiteness. Yeah. I am scoring it a zero. Yeah.
Hey, did you know that Bill Wyman for this song, he actually went to some disco joints so that he could come up with the bass line for this, so that he could essentially learn how to play a disco bass?
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about disco in a category of the last category. But I have some thoughts on that.
You might have a thought or two on that one, right?
The next category, malignant machismo. How do you score, sir?
And from one perspective, I want to give it like a full one, but...
Like, how so? What's that perspective? The idea that it's kind of cocky?
It's kind of cocky, and...
Yeah.
I
mean, the ladies are just there, you know?
The ladies are just side pieces,
yeah,
right?
They're just dying to service this dude.
Right, know? Wants to be serviced.
Yep, and he's a cocky guy who's, you know, the world is there to perform that deed for him, you know? But
I'm giving it a full one. Sorry.
Yeah, I think there's a certain machismo about it.
I'm doing it.
Not machismo in like the macho man savage sense, but just kind of in the cockiness of it.
Machismo,
you know,
shows itself in different ways. There isn't one certain definition of machismo, but this one meets my version of machismo, and I think we both have the same version of that.
I'm feeling it, man. I'm giving it a plus one.
Plus
as well.
One for me as well.
And the last category in our highly scientific rock and roll autopsy, culture of vulturism.
So all I'm going to say is the Rolling Stones did a disco song. That's all we need to know on that.
Yeah, I'm giving it a big plus one as yeah. well. I got to tell you, dude.
All right, now before we tally up the scores, let's just talk about the song for a minute.
Yeah, I hate this fucking song.
Do you really?
Yeah. I dig this.
Oh, my bad on that.
No. What sound effect was that?
That was, that was my computer, my bad.
I like this album a lot, but it perplexes me. I hate the fact that the album opens with Miss You and ends with Shattered. I think they're the shittiest songs on the record. Shattered. These songs sound like the Rolling Stones trying to be of the times.
And they do a country song too.
Yeah, but they did that their whole career.
I know.
You know, so to me that's okay, because country and blues and honky tonk is like that's been a part of their sound, R&B the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
But the disco and then Shattered, I also fucking hate, because it makes me think of New York City, skinny ties, CBGBs, like the Knack, like it's them doing My Sharona. You know, I fucking hate that song, and I hate Miss You because I don't like the. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Man, the My Sharona parallel. Nice. Nice one, man.
That's what it is, dude. So it's
freaking well done on that one. That was impressive.
That song just makes me think of like Skinny Ties in New York. That's that New York Skinny Ties CBGB sound that I fucking am not a fan of. And it just makes me think that they're trying to be, these are boomers. These are guys from the 60s. And now it's almost the 80s. Post-punk era, and they're just trying to fit in. And now disco's taking over. They're trying to. They had.
Are they appropriating disco to stay relevant? Are they pulling a Kiss on here?
Of course.
Come on, Mick. You can do better than that. I, on the other hand, really like this song.
Well, listen, dude. I love the Stones, and if I can say, there's tracks on here that I fucking love. Yeah. Like Respectable,
great.
When the Whip Comes Down, Some Girls, the title track,
Some Girls is
rad.
Killer, dude. I know it got a lot of flack, especially from the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yep,
but it's a great song.
Beast of Burden,
Beast of Burden's fantastic.
Faraway Eyes,
yes.
Like everything in between everything in between the opening track and the last track sounds like a killer Rolling Stones album. It's got swagger. It's fucking dirty, nasty Rolling Stones is what I like. And then you got these songs on that you know, are the bread in the sandwich that is the record that are them trying to be something they're not.
Can you?
And it's annoying to me.
Can you at least give me, because again, I really like Miss You. Shattered, I'm kind of on. Ugh. Can you at least give me the harmonica part and Miss You? Can you at least give me that?
Here's the deal with
the harmonica part. The atonal harmonica at the end is fantastic. I love it. I love everything about it.
When Miss You comes on the radio, I don't turn it. Well, sometimes I turn it off, but I will listen to it. I actually love the Rolling Stones. And if I can say one good thing about this song coming up in our rock and roll autopsy this week, was that I listened to the Some Girls record in its entirety probably 4 or 5 times this week. But the best part of that was it made me go back and listen to Exile on Main Street, which I probably spun 10 times this week. I literally just let it play on repeat on my computer.
That album is super good, man.
And I listened to today alone. Okay, I was at work from 7:30 to 5. Today I listened to Exile on Main Street. I listened to Beggar's Banquet, and I listened to Goat's Head Soup at work today, and it was amazing. And that's the best thing I can say about Miss You, is that it made me go back and listen to good Rolling Stones. Because I like the Stones when they're high and dangerous, not when they're trying to Studio 50. I don't want Bill Wyman going to fucking Studio 54 to figure out how to be John Travolta. I don't want that shit.
We want heroin Rolling Stones. We want they have trouble doing an album because they're doing too much acid Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
We don't want disco Rolling Stones. We don't want cocaine Rolling Stones. We want heroin and acid Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
So you just got to pick your chemical and go with that.
To me, I mean, they just had a run of albums from like, Let It Bleed, Beggar's Banquet, of course, Sticky Fingers, It's Only Rock and Roll, Goat's Head Soup, Exile. I mean, just great, great, great albums. Yep. And this album, to me, as much as I like everything in the middle of it, begins kind of the Rolling Stones graduation, the slow graduation into Nostalgia Act, where they start being more about the catalog than the current record, and they start down that path.
Critically,
it did great.
This is hailed as their second best album.
Yeah, people say it's a big comeback album. They love it. It's just not what I love.
So let's tally up the score.
Right, I think we're going to be a surprisingly high album.
So let's see where we are. I've got full 5 points.
I've got 4 points.
We the jury find the defendant guilty as charged.
Wow.
This is a stunner. Miss You by the Rolling Stones killed rock and roll.
Man, I am surprised about that. It's such a famous song. Highly regarded song. They contributed to the death of rock and roll by making this song.
I mean, listen, it's a highly scientific autopsy we've just performed. The results are the results, Rico.
This is not opinion. This is highly scientifically driven.
And if you don't like it, send us an angry email. Get on Twitter and tell us we're dumbasses.
Talk to us on Instagram. Please.
It's all good. Thank you very much for listening. This has been Rock and Roll Autopsy.
Good night now.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, it's like a mystique. There's no mystique anymore.
To the dawn, love it, hey, to the morning, I'm gone, I'm gone.
Follow us on Twitter at RNR Autopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com, and if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.